Father, we thank you this glorious morning as we approach your word. We do so reverently. We do so knowing that the words we are about to hear this morning, they are not the words of any man. They are words that came from you. Words that you spoke from heaven, and by your spirit you moved upon men here on earth to write down so that generations upon generations may have access to your written word here on earth as it is already settled in heaven. This morning, we humble ourselves to ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened to know with all clarity the hope of our calling, the riches of the glorious inheritance that you have given us as your saints, and the exceeding greatness of your power that is available to us and for us as Christians here on earth. Help us, Lord, to receive the kind of understanding that will motivate us to live by your word this morning. We don't just want to be hearers of the word only. We want to be doers. Because it is in doing your word that we profit thereby, not just in hearing it alone. And so, blessed Holy Spirit, we are so thankful that you are our teacher here today, and you guide us into all the truth that the Father has for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 13. Remember last time we began to look about how to walk in spiritual discernment. In other words, as Christians, God expects every one of us to walk in spiritual discernment. And we did emphasize that we are talking about the kind of discernment that is common to every Christian. We are not talking about the gift of the discerning of spirits mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because that's mentioned under the gifts of the Spirit. We shall be able to talk about that sometime in the future when we share on the gifts of the Spirit. But as we explained, and as Bible clearly reveals, that particular one mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is something that operates as the Spirit of God wills. In other words, as it is as the Holy Spirit wills, not as we will. So I cannot just choose to operate in the gifts of discerning of spirit. That's what it means. It is the Holy Spirit that will give me the grace to do so at any point in time according to his will. So many of us as Christians will never walk in the gift of the discerning of spirits until God calls us home. Because if the Holy Spirit doesn't want to use me for that, there's nothing I can do. And if there's no need for him to use me for that, at that point, there's nothing I can do also. But then there is the discerning that God wants every one of us to walk in. The discernment by the Holy Spirit. Because every child of God ought to walk in that. For instance, Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 that when we mature, solid food belongs to those who are mature, those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. So God wants all his children to be able to discern between good and evil so that we can do what is good and hate what is evil. We read that early this morning. Every saint of God ought to hate evil. So how am I going to hate evil when I don't even know how to differentiate between good and evil? So there has to be the means by which I can discern between good and evil and say, this is good, that is of God. This is evil, that is of the devil. And every child of God ought to walk in that. So that's what we are talking about. We are talking about that kind of spiritual discernment. And last week also, we read several other portions of scripture. We'll quickly go over them this morning, and then we'll take it further this morning and see more of the truth that God wants us to receive about this subject. But let's turn first to Romans chapter 13, if we are not there already. And we were looking at verse 11 in particular. But as we said the last time, please take time to read the previous verses in context. But verse 11 says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Hallelujah. So this is talking to Christians that we ought to know. The word "know" there literally means to discern, to be able to have precise knowledge, accurate interpretation, accurate judgment of something. So God is saying we should have this kind of knowing, this kind of spiritual knowing, this kind of spiritual understanding about the times that we are living in now. None of us should be ignorant of the seasons that we are living in, spiritually speaking. I mean, if you look around in the world today, you will see events happening all over the place, which God already spoke about in the Bible. So these things shouldn't surprise us as Christians. That's what the Bible is saying. We ought to be able to discern. Now, okay, this is the season we are living in because God already spoke about these things. So what then should I do? That's the next question. Because once I'm able to discern the times and the seasons, then I'll be able to find out what the Bible says I should do in those times and seasons. Last week, we'll look at the scripture again today. We looked about what Bible says, even under the Old Testament, about the children of the tribe of Issachar, who had spiritual discernment of the times and the seasons, and because of that, they were able to tell Israel what they ought to do. If you can't discern between what is of God and what is not of God, how would you be able to guide people in the way of God? So the first thing is to be able to know clearly the way. For instance, all of you are here this morning. You travel from your home to get here. The reason why you are here is because you knew the way how to get here. For instance, if you headed for Heathrow, if you had headed for Heathrow, you wouldn't be here this morning. So when you left your house, the first thing was to have clear judgment of where you are going and then how to get there. So you made up your mind, I'm going to church. And then the next thing is, I need to go this way. If I need to drive, this is the route. If I need to walk, this is the route that leads to the place. So that's what the Bible is telling us. We have to have clear understanding of what God wants us to know in His Word so that we can know how to live and what to do in those times and seasons. So here Paul is writing to the church at Rome by the Holy Spirit and reminding them who they are and what they ought to be doing by saying you should know the time, literally, and understand that this is not the time to go into spiritual slumber, but actually this is the time to be awake, to be on the alert, and to understand that your redemption is nearer than when you believe. In other words, the time of your being taken away from all the mess in this world is nearer than when you first believed in Jesus as your Savior. So obviously, it's talking about the rapture that is coming. None of us knows when it's going to happen. But the Holy Spirit is writing this down for every generation to be ready. If God wants to come in that generation, then you are ready to go. We don't know when Jesus is going to come in the rapture. There is no clear-cut event written in the Bible that will help us to pinpoint, well, it's likely to be this year. We don't know. There are several other events in the Bible that we can pinpoint, at least to some degree of accuracy, about when they will happen. For instance, once the millennial reign of Christ comes, the 1,000 years of Christ, when it has finished, Bible tells us how the devil will be released, and for a short period of time, which will be just about 3.5 years, the devil with anger will cause so much damage here on earth, and then Jesus will finally come and put the devil finally out of business, and this old world will be totally destroyed, melted by fervent heat, and the new one that God has created for you and I to dwell will descend from heaven just like that, just coming down from heaven, and God himself coming to live among us. So we, for instance, we can say, okay, after the millennial reign of Christ, the end of the world is so near. Within 3.5 years. Because Bible says so. But rapture, no one knows. Bible says it will come at a time when we don't even expect, like a thief in the night. Because that's the time that Jesus is coming to take his church home. That's those who are ready. 10 virgins, 5 are ready, 5 are not. So not every so-called Christian will go in the rapture. Some will be left behind because they are 5 foolish virgins. They are in slumber. That's why the Holy Spirit is saying, awake. Awake. They were so much in slumber that when the noise of the bridegroom was made and they heard, some of them didn't even know where their lamp was. They were still searching for the lamp. Finally, when they found the lamp, they said, ah, there is no oil. Ah, hey, you have oil. Give me some. Now I said, no, I can't give you. I need the oil too to go in. So you have to go and buy for yourself where they sell. By the time they went to buy, the door was shut. Too late. See, Jesus is teaching us by parable to understand that we need to be ready. At all times. There won't be time for us to say, okay, let me get some things in order, and then I will be ready to come in the rapture. There won't be time for that. Everything will happen so fast. If you are not ready, you are not ready. And so, Paul is writing to the church and getting them to understand this truth, to know the times that we are living in, and to understand that we need to be on spiritual alertness and live in certain ways as God has said we should do. Again, let's look also quickly before we look at some other scriptures. Let's hear from the mouth of Jesus himself also. Let's turn to Luke Chapter 21, in case some of us are saying, well, that is Paul speaking. Maybe Paul didn't hear clearly enough. Well, how about Jesus himself? Let's hear from the horse's mouth, as we often say. Praise God. Jesus also spoke about discerning the times and knowing what to do in those times. So as you see all these things happening around you, don't be distracted by what the devil is doing. It's not a surprise. All the plagues, all the pandemic and the confusion in the world, for us as Christians, that's not a surprise. God already spoke about these things. There will be diverse kinds of diseases, earthquakes in diverse places, even places where there were no history of earthquakes before, they will begin to happen in our days. It's all there in the Bible. There will be wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of confusion in the world. Bible talks about it. And all kinds of fear in the world. Jesus himself spoke about it. That the heart of man will fail them for fear because of what is happening in the world. It's all happening right before our eyes. So we have to be able to discern the times. There's fear all over the world today. Everybody is afraid of pandemic out there in the world. But thank God for the church. We are not afraid of any pandemic. Because we know that greater is he that is in us than the devil causing the pandemic in the world. That's what we are talking about. And Jesus spoke about all these things and then what we ought to do. You see, what we just read in Romans chapter 13, Paul, speaking by the Spirit, said we should actually understand that our redemption is nearer. So that's the joy. We should be rejoicing in the midst of all this calamity and saying, praise God. Oh, our time of going home in the glorious kingdom is nearer. Bless God. I'm just going to go about doing what God says I should do. That's all. Rather than joining them to talk about all the calamity, let us be declaring, praise God, our redemption is nearer. Oh, thank God for his faithfulness. He's keeping us from all these things because he's faithful, was promised, Bible says. Now look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21. Again, for the sake of time, we'll just pick a couple of verses. Read the whole chapter, because Jesus spoke here in this portion of the Bible, and also in Mark chapter 13, you can find the account also, and also in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus took time to explain to his people all the events that will take place towards the end of the time before he comes to take his church home, and all these things, and he tells us, but the end of the world is not yet around. So that we shouldn't let people fool us by saying, well, here is Christ, there is Christ, and all kinds of confusion. We are people that have the light. We cannot be confused. But look at what Jesus said. Let's drop down to verse... Okay, for the sake of context, I'll pick it from verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Are we not seeing all that now? You're seeing it. Sometimes they call it tsunami. They call it hurricane. They call it all kinds of things. Now look at verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Are we not seeing that right now? All over the world. Not just in some places. All over the world. There is no place here on earth where they are not afraid of pandemic today. But Jesus spoke about it. Some people now, even when you try to walk close to them, they are so scared. They just, just by you wanting to pass by them. Fear grips. Jesus spoke about these things, so it shouldn't bother us. We should just be praying for them, you see, that they may come to the light, because we have the light. Okay, Jesus says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Hallelujah. Thank God Jesus is coming back to take us home. Now look at verse 28. This is what concerns us. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. He didn't say we should be looking at the things. Look at that clearly. In that verse, Jesus has told us how to live in these days. He didn't say, well, when you see these things, just look upon them and take a long look at them and consider them. No, he said, forget about them. You look up to where I am. I'm coming back for you. Look up and cheer up. Don't let what is depressing them in this world get you depressed. Do you look up with great cheer? I've already overcome the world. So you look up. He said, look up. Lift up your heads. For your redemption draweth nigh. Your being taken out of all this mess is nearer. So that's an encouragement for us as Christians. That we are not just going through something we don't know about. We are going through something that God has told us about and told us how to live in them. And then all we need to do is just focus on doing what he says we should do. And before we leave Luke chapter 21, let us see what Jesus says we should be doing. And we shall be enlightened that later. Look at verse 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always. Please underline that in your Bible. Watch ye therefore and pray always. This is the head of the church telling his body what the body should be doing in the midst of all that is happening right now. We are to watch and pray. That's our duty as Christians. Just watch and pray. We are not to be looking at the pandemic or looking at what is happening or listening to what they are saying, because we know the truth. We are to listen to the instruction of the head of the church, not to man. We are to listen to what Jesus has said and go about doing that in obedience. Watch and pray, he says. To watch means take the word, which is the lamp or the light, and pray with it. Because the watchman has to have a lamp to see in the darkness. So that's what Jesus is saying. And thank God, the early church, they went about doing exactly that. They were always in the word, always in prayer. They were just watching and praying, obeying the voice of their master Jesus. And you and I ought to be doing the same thing. Jesus will not tell us to do what won't give us the victory in the midst of the darkness. Because he himself knows how to overcome the darkness. He has already come here to overcome darkness for us. So he's saying this is the key for you to walk in victory as my people. Forget about what the devil is doing in the world. You look up with great cheer and set yourself in the place of prayer. Stay in my word and pray. Why? Because when you do that, look at what it then says. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape. Please underline the word escape. That is the way of escape for us as Christians. Not some of these things, all of the calamities of this world, all of the problems, all of the plague, all of the evil that the devil is doing in this world. Jesus has prepared a way of escape for us. Because he's the shepherd. He knows how to keep us and preserve us from all kinds of evil. And the key, he says, watch. Stay in my word and stay in prayer. Just stay in my word and in prayer. And I will look after you. He's the shepherd. He knows how to look after the sheep. The sheep can't look after themselves. I don't know about you. I can't look after myself. I need Jesus to look after me. Because Bible says, unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman lies awake, but in vain. You can't look after yourself. You can't even see behind you. But thank God for Jesus. He knows everything, and he knows how to save us from all evil. He has already defeated the devil for us. And he said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Just obey me, that's all. Just obey me. So we can escape all these things that shall come to pass, and then be able to stand confidently in the presence of God with great joy, testifying to the glory of God, even as the early church, you know, they did. If you read in Luke chapter 10, there is the account there in Luke chapter 10, after Jesus has sent out the 70, 2 by 2, to go into every city where he himself will come. And he gave them authority to use his name against all manner of sickness and disease and all forms of evil spirit. And Bible says they went and they returned and they testified. They said, Master, even the devils were subject to us at your name. Isn't that wonderful? They just went and did what Jesus told them to do, and they came back with testimony of success and victory at the name of Jesus. If they were able to get that kind of result then, how much more we now? It's just about obeying the Lord. None of us knows better than Jesus. He knows better than us all. He is the truth himself. So if he says, watch and pray, don't let us begin to think, well, is there any other way? No, that is the way. He himself is the way. So whatsoever he says is the way. The way of victory is what Jesus says. Watch and pray. Don't look at what is happening. Look up. Look to the grace of God that has come down from heaven to you. Look to the divine resources of God that are available to you because you are a citizen of heaven. Don't look down here on earth. You are just in the world. You are not of the world. You are of God, little children, Bible says, and you have already overcome them of the world. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. Now let's go back to Romans 13. Say again, we've heard from the mouth of Jesus, heard from the mouth of his apostle. They are both saying the same thing by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit always says the same thing. This is the Spirit of truth. So this is what we should be doing. These are the things we need to know as Christians. Discern the times. Have that understanding that comes by the Holy Spirit. And last time, remember, we looked at 1 Corinthians 2:14. We don't need to turn there. I'll just remind you what it says right there in that passage of scripture, that no man in the natural state, relying on his natural senses, his natural understanding, natural intellect, and his five physical senses, Bible says no man relying on those natural senses can understand the things of the Spirit of God. Because they will be foolishness to him. They don't make sense to him. They can only be spiritually discerned. So that's why we are talking about spiritual discernment. The discernment that comes by the Holy Spirit. And if you read further down, it talks about the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us these things. With words of God, not with words of human wisdom. So we are saying that the discernment we are talking about is what comes to us by the Holy Spirit, who lives in our human spirit and ministers the truth to us so that we can receive it in our own individual human spirit and make the right choices to live by that truth. That's all. So that's what we are talking about. We can't understand God with the natural senses. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to minister the truth to us in our human spirit and discern the truth by that ministration of the Holy Spirit. And also we looked at 1 John chapter 2 verse 20, where the Bible says we have the unction of the Holy One living in us, and it teaches us all truth. It teaches us everything. In other words, discernment comes by the Holy Spirit, not by any human ability, but by the Holy Spirit. We also looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 1 to 8, again telling us about the times and the seasons that will be as Jesus returns and what we need to be doing. And we also looked at 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. Let's quickly turn back there. I love that verse of scripture, because if we can walk in the discernment that God has prepared for us as his people, then we will not be ignorant of what to do. We will not be like the people of the world who are confused because of the darkness. You know, when there is darkness, people don't know where to turn. Everything is just dark. They don't have the light. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to move. They don't know what direction to go. But when you have the light, you are not in confusion. There is no darkness. So you know what to do. You know where to turn. That's what the Bible is saying. We have to have the discernment. And we shall see how to walk in this discernment, because it's all clear in scripture, just as Jesus said, we're to watch and pray. But we see how to apply that to our individual lives in a short while. Now, look at what it says there, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times. Please underline that in your Bible. They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Isn't that wonderful? Because they had understanding, they had spiritual understanding, spiritual discernment of the times, they could guide the people of God in what to do. That means if we don't have discernment, then we are ignorant. We don't know what to do. This is why as Christians we have to spend time in the Word of God and in prayer so that we can have understanding that comes by the Holy Spirit rather than our natural understanding, which is what all the people of the world are walking in. If we as Christians choose to live our natural understanding, we won't be different from the people of the world who don't have God. We'll be as confused as they are. We'll be as fearful as they are. We'll be as totally perplexed as they are, because the natural understanding of man cannot tap into the things of God. So we need to have the spiritual discernment like the children of Issachar did. And so we'll be able to say, this is what God says we should do in this situation. So let's go that way. And then the people of God will be able to go in the way of God and walk in the victory that God has prepared for them. And this is what God expects of us as his children. As we said last week, it's not just for the pastors or the ministers of God. It's for every child of God. That's why we are talking about spiritual discernment, not the gifts of discerning of spirit, which is not common to all, but this spiritual discernment is common to all. We just need to develop it. We need to develop because we already have it in us. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. We just need to develop the capacity to receive from him in our own human spirit and interpret what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through the understanding of the Word of God and act upon it. That's all. That's the way it works. The Holy Spirit will give you the interpretation in your human spirit of what God is saying with clarity of understanding, and then you'll be able to walk in obedience to the Word of God. Remember, you may write this scripture down also and look at it. In Romans chapter 8 verse 16, Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit works with our human spirit. He lives in our spirit, and then he gives guidance to our human spirit to give guidance to our lives. That's why we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit within. Sometimes, for instance, you may be in a place and there's just an awareness in you that you should not spend too long here. Move from here. You don't know why. There are many people around. So, but why is this? Why do I feel like I should just get away from here? Well, you better don't delay. Get away. If that's the Holy Spirit telling you there's something around that he wants to keep you from. But if you stay there long, well, it's your choice now. There's nothing God can do. So, if God says, leave. I heard of testimonies of people that God kept back from the destruction of the tower in America when the thing was blown down by those terrorists. Christians that ought to have gone to work that morning, and somehow they didn't understand why, but the Spirit of God was telling them, just don't go yet, go later. But I'll be late. And there was one of them who was trying to override the Spirit of God with her natural senses. And she got in her car to drive to work. And as soon as she got in that car, she developed diarrhea. The kind of diarrhea that they can't hold. You know that kind of diarrhea? You just have to rush to the toilet. So she got out of her car and rushed to the toilet and, you know, hissed herself and then came back out again, got in the car, and she said, I'm going to be late for work. And she got in the car and tried to start the ignition again, and another bout of diarrhea hit her, and she had to go back again. And that happened 3 times. She went to the toilet 3 times. And finally, after the third time, she got in the car. She was very worked up, very stressed, angry, and saying, I'm late for work. And she got in the car, and she was driving to work. And then from a distance, she saw all the commotion. She couldn't even get there. And she saw that the tower had been blown up. She could have been inside. She could have died. God saved her. This is what we are talking about. God wants to keep every one of us from evil, but we have to be sensitive to his witness in us. The Holy Spirit won't speak to you in audible voice many times. In fact, some of us will never hear the audible voice of God on this earth until we see him in glory. Occasionally he may choose to, but it's not something common. But he speaks by a gentle, silent witness. He bears witness with our spirit. You just know. You just know. You can't explain it many times. You just know. And then the Holy Spirit will then guide you into a scripture to give you that confidence that what he's telling you to do is in line with the word of God. That's why the Bible says, test the spirit to know whether they're of God. When you hear or you prophesy, you judge it by the word. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to violate the word of God. For instance, you can say, I received the witness of the Holy Spirit in me to go and rob the bank down the road. I don't need a prophet. The time that you didn't hear from the Holy Spirit, you heard from the devil disguising as an angel of light. The Holy Spirit is not a robber. How can you tell it will go and rob? That's what we're talking about. So that's what we are talking about. So you have to have that discernment. Hallelujah. Okay. And also, last time we looked at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and we did say to look at it in context from about verse 8 right through to verse 17. Quickly, let's turn there, and then we'll highlight a few things more today to take home and meditate in further regarding this subject of walking in spiritual discernment. Ephesians chapter 5, you see, if any of us fail or fall, it is our fault. It is not God's fault. God has done his part. He has equipped us with everything we need to walk in safety and in victory in this dark world. But if we don't listen to him, and if we don't choose to obey his voice, because it's one thing to hear what God is saying, it's another thing to choose to do it. That's why the Bible says, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers. Because if you are just a hearer and not a doer, you are deceiving yourself. You may say, well, I heard the Bible. Well, what are you doing with what you have heard? It is in the doing that you get the blessing. If you don't do it, then it's like you don't even hear it. So what's the point of hearing the word of God and not doing it? Now look at Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 8. It says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Well, if I'm light, then I have to walk in the nature of light. That's what he's saying. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's the key. What is pleasing to God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now look at verse 14. Here comes the warning. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Well, is he talking about natural awakening here? No. It's not talking about natural awakening, because everybody goes to sleep at night and wake up in the morning. So it's not saying that you should wake up in the middle of the night and not sleep naturally. It's talking about spiritual alertness. It's talking about spiritual sensitivity. Don't go into slumber, because people who are in slumber are not aware of what is happening around them. But people who are awake are conscious of their surroundings. So that's what God is saying. Awake spiritually. Be alert spiritually. Have discernment spiritually. Understand what is happening around you spiritually. Be like the children of Issachar. Understand the times that we are living in and know what to do in them. Don't just mingle with the crowd and get lost with them. No, as a Christian, you know what to do in the midst of the darkness, because Jesus said, you should watch and pray. and ye shall lift your head up, because there's escape for you. So what is happening does not matter to you anyway, because there's a way of escape already for you. Jesus said, you just obey his voice and watch and pray. And it's duty as your shepherd to look after you. You won't need to be afraid of what the devil is doing. Jesus has already defeated him for you. So again, he's saying here, talking to us, to be on alert. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. You see, that's the condition of the church. If you take the body of Christ today, there are some who are asleep spiritually. There are some who are dead spiritually. And there are some who are awake spiritually. Why? Because that's, again, based on each person's choice. For instance, Bible says there are carnal Christians. Who made them carnal? Was it God? No, they made themselves carnal. They chose to be carnally minded. It's not that they don't have the Bible, but they don't care about the Bible. They don't have time for the Bible, so they just want to live by their natural senses. So Bible says they are carnally minded, and they are not pleasing God. They are not different from the people of the world. They will behave like unbelievers. They will do the same things that unbelievers do, and yet they are Christians. So that's their choice. So those ones are dead. But then there are those who are just asleep. They are half awake and half in slumber. Like Jesus said, they are midway between, lukewarm. We'll call them lukewarm. You know, Jesus spoke in the book of Revelation about the condition of the church. He said, he doesn't want you to be cold. So some are cold. When you are cold, you are dead. Dead to the spirit. You are not sensitive at all to the spirit. Then there are some that are lukewarm, half out with God, half out with the world. Then there are those who are hot. Jesus said, you should either be cold, so you say you are dead totally, or hot, you are alive. Right now, even saying you are lukewarm. He said, if you are lukewarm, I will reject you, spew you out of my mouth. In other words, he wants people who are awake. That's why only 5 of the virgins went with him. 5 were foolish. They couldn't go in. So all those things are written for us to understand how to live in our days. If you see other Christians, you know, slackening, just warn them. If they don't listen to you, just leave them. Work out your own salvation. Don't say, well, maybe they are right. Maybe there's no point being so zealous for the things of God. Maybe I'm too much of a fanatic. They said I'm a fanatic. Maybe I need to cool down a little bit. Well, if you cool down, Jesus will say, I don't know you. That's the devil trying to use them to get you off the track. You better say, well, I'm on the right road, because Jesus said, I will either be hot or cold. And I don't want to be cold, because he will reject me. I want to be hot for Jesus. And I don't want to be lukewarm either, because he says he doesn't want lukewarm people. No midway. Just stay on Jesus' side totally. Hallelujah. All your heart. So, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now look at verse 15. See then, that's the key. So this is the charge God has given to us. See to it personally. No matter what others are doing around you, even as Christians, you ensure that you see to it personally, that you walk circumspectly. And as we explained the last time, to walk circumspectly means to walk with precision, with definite, precise judgment or discernment, to know where to put your foot and where not to put your foot. To know what to do and what not to do. That's what it's talking about. Walk circumspectly with the wisdom that comes from God through the Holy Spirit. Because it's the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding. To guide us in the way of God in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Again, this is God telling us what to do in the evil day. Not to focus on the evil, but to focus on doing what we should be doing. He didn't say, well, we should focus on the evil that is happening and then spend all the day focusing on it. Oh, they said another 10,000 have caught the flu. Another 10,000 have caught the COVID-19. Another 10,000 have caught another disease. What is this world coming to? Well, that's what they are saying in the world. That's not your own business. You just go into watching and praying, like Jesus said. Because those things can't come near you anyway. They are not your own portion. You just focus on doing what Jesus says you should do. That's all. That's all. That's all. So again, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now look at verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding. That word understanding there means discerning. Be discerning. Have the capacity to make judgment by the Holy Spirit as to what to do. Because he always leads us in the will of God. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to guide us in the will of God. Even he's the one who helps the saints to pray, Bible says, according to the will of God. How much more do every other thing? It was the Holy Spirit that helped Jesus while Jesus was here on earth as a man. Jesus couldn't have done anything without the Holy Spirit. That was why he said he was going to the Father, so that the Holy Spirit could come and be in every one of his followers, to help them just as he was helped by the same Holy Spirit. So we have to be understanding, not be confused with the people of the world. We have to have the understanding spiritually, or the discerning by the Holy Spirit, what the will of the Lord is, and just go about doing that. Hallelujah. The will of God is not for us to join them in their fears. The will of God is not for us to join them in all their perplexity and their confusion. The will of God is for us to walk in the light in the midst of the darkness. Take the word of God and pray with it. And then when you see other people who are fearful, just encourage them and say, well, have you really believed in God in your life before? Do you believe that there is God who can help people when they are in trouble? Don't even start with Jesus for now. Just mention God alone. And open the door for them to begin to think beyond themselves. Maybe all their hope has been in the government. Now, by you introducing God, you are giving them a different perspective to the situation. And then some of them say, yeah, God, yes, I believe there is God. Some people told me about God before. Well, why don't you look to God then? Because can't you see man can't help? We all know the situation is such that man can't help us. Every one of them now, they are confused, and so they are blaming one another. Government will blame scientists, scientists will blame government, and then some people will blame other people, and then they blame other people. It's because they don't know what to do. They just open their eyes to someone that can help God, and then the conversation can then proceed on to, well, the way to get God to help you is through Jesus. That was why God sent Jesus into the world. Because all that is happening in the world today is by the devil. And Jesus came in order to defeat the devil for those who have faith in him. And the starting point for you is to allow Jesus to come into your heart. And then he will make you one of his own flock. And he will be responsible to look after you as your shepherd. Then person begins to think about it. They may not even totally accept Christ then, but you've sown a seed in them that the Holy Spirit can water. That's what we should be doing. Spread the light. Hallelujah. Write this down and then we'll look at them closely next time. Make these points and then go study them. Again, looking at Romans 13:11, please write this down. The word knowing there, know what Bible says, and that knowing the time, that it is high time. So that represents spiritual knowing. That's what God is talking about. It's a spiritual knowing, not knowing with our head, like we said, and like Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:14, we can't know these things by our natural mind. We have to discern them by the Spirit. So the knowing there is spiritual knowing, which is the kind of knowing that is ministered by the Holy Spirit to our human spirit. So the kind of knowing the Bible is making mention of in Romans 13 verse 11 is a spiritual knowing, which is that kind of knowing that is ministered by the Holy Spirit to our human spirit. You see, our human spirit as Christians is the born-again spirit in us that is one nature with God. That's why the Holy Spirit can dwell in us and then become the guide to minister the way of God to us in the inward parts. That's the way God works. God won't speak to your head or your soul directly. God never does that. God will speak to your spirit. Then your spirit will relay the message to your own soul and your own body. For instance, if God wants to heal you as a Christian, he doesn't just jump on your physical body. He ministers the healing to you in your human spirit, where his Holy Spirit dwells, and by your faith, it is translated from your human spirit to that part of your body where you need the healing. That's how it works. God works from the inside out because God is spirit. So he ministers every blessing. You need wisdom, God will put that wisdom in your inward parts. Bible says, in other words, in your human spirit. And then because of your faith, your own human spirit now will overrule every other part of your body, your soul and your body, and ensure that you walk in that truth. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. We have to understand all this basic truth about our Christian faith. Next, please write this down also. This knowing, again, this spiritual knowing, is helped, or if you like, made easy or facilitated by personal growth and maturity in our human spirit. See, our human spirit has to grow to maturity. Bible says, as newborn babes, we have to desire the sincere milk of the word so that we may grow thereby. It's talking about spiritual growth. So we have to grow up in our spirit, man to maturity. In front of that, in front of the first statement we made, please write Romans chapter 8 verse 16. And then in front of this second statement, please write Hebrews chapter 5 verses 12 to 14. So we have to grow up to maturity because it is the matured spirit that has the capacity to discern between what is of God and what is not of God, between what is good and what is evil. If you are not matured in the spirit, you will not even be able to discern. That's why some Christians, when you talk to them about some things that are ungodly, they don't even see it as wrong. They even look at you as, are you strange? But what's wrong in doing that? Well, it's because they are not matured in the spirit, so they cannot make spiritual judgment. So to them, there's nothing wrong with it. But then there's everything wrong with it. When you mature in the spirit, you can see the danger. You can see the trap that the enemy has set. Okay, let's stop there today, and we'll, for sake of time, we'll pick it up next time by God's grace, and then look further to it and see how to then set ourselves individually to walk in this spiritual discernment, which God expects every one of us as Christians, every Christian to walk in. So it's not about ministers alone. It's not about, special people alone. It's just about you spending time, like Jesus said, watch and pray. Spend time in the word. Spend time in prayer so that the Holy Spirit in your human spirit can go to work on your human spirit to develop it and mature it and help you to walk in the capacity of God that is in your life. It's as simple as that. Without cooperating with the Holy Spirit in us, we can't walk in the ways of God. Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Amos chapter 3 verse 3. It is the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, Bible says the flesh in us lost against the spirit. So the spirit wants to guide us, but our flesh is getting in the way. We are saying, well, I don't see it that way. I'll do it my own way. Well, who cares about your own way? Your own way is no good at all. It may look right to you, but there are ways of death. The devil has set a trap somewhere along the line. The only way that is safe is God's way. Don't go your own way. Go God's way. And you won't have anything to fear on the road. But if you go your way, you may fall into the ditch without you realizing. And by then, it will be too late. So may God help us. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's talk to Him one-on-one. Let us ask Him to help us to make the right choices on a daily basis. See, the reason why grace has come is to help us in our own weakness. We all have weaknesses. There's none of us that doesn't have areas of weakness. But we can't keep talking about our weaknesses. That's the reason why grace has come. To supply us strength. So that where we are weak, we may become strong. And it takes humility to receive grace from God. Because the Bible says God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Paul had to understand that way. If you read in his letter to the church at Corinth in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he made one of the most glorious statements that any Christian could ever make. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Because he went through so much. But in the midst of his sufferings, God taught him about grace. And then from that point onwards, he never, ever did anything apart from the grace of God. So this morning, I want you to go before God one-on-one. This is the time when we pray one-on-one. We work out our own salvation. Forget about someone else now. Just go one-on-one with the Lord. Because each one of us have to see clearly before we can help others, Bible says. If we can't take off the log in our own eyes, how can we see clearly to help remove the mote in our brother's eyes? So we all have to go before God and receive strength. And then when we are strong in ourselves and in the Lord, then we can help others who are weak to become strong also. The same thing Jesus told Peter. He said, when you are converted, strengthen thou the brethren. The devil has desired to have you to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And then when you have overcome, you know what the strength of God is. And you'll be able to help others who are weak. So let's talk to God one-on-one. And simply ask for that grace. Bible says, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. If you ask according to the will of God, you are confident that what you are asking, God will give to you. And He wants us to have grace. And much more grace. Grace in increasing measures. Day by day. Because He knows we can't do it on our own. But He wants us to ask that we may receive. So go ahead and ask God for grace. Grace to walk in the will of God. Grace to pay the price. Spending time in the Word of God and in prayer, building up yourself in your most holy faith and spiritual discernment. Allowing the Holy Spirit to help mature your human spirit to get you to the point where you can walk in the capacity of God, the potential that is in you as a child of God. And when you have asked, thank Him. See, this kind of prayer doesn't even take 1 minute because it's a prayer of humility. It's a prayer of just surrendering yourself to the Lord and saying, God, have mercy on me. Give me the grace. I can't do it without you. See, such prayer, you don't need 1 hour to pray this kind of prayer of surrender. Simply come with a sincere heart to say, Lord, help me. Strengthen me where I'm weak. You know me more than I know myself. Help me, Lord. You alone can keep me from falling, Bible says. So help me. Help me, Lord. Supply me with the measure of your strength and grace that I need day by day to obey you, to spend time in the word and in prayer, so that I may escape all these evil things that are bound in the world, this dark world, just as you said. And when you have done that, now pray for your fellow brethren. Now let's pray together the same prayer for everyone else in the church of Jesus. Father, we come in the spirit of agreement. Having asked of you grace for ourselves individually, now we intercede for our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ, that you minister the same grace to each one of your people everywhere. As you said in your word, everything in this world will be shaken. But you said we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, we ought to have grace whereby we may be able to serve God acceptably. And so, dear Lord, we come to stand in the gap for your church. And as everything is being shaken in the world around us, the grace you promised us to serve you acceptably in the midst of all the shaking, you will supply to your church anew today. Help every one of us to make the connection by faith with your grace and to receive it abundantly and walk in it to the praise and glory of your name, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen.